Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Tuesday, October 9th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Alaska Airlines operations were slowly returning to normal Monday afternoon after a fiber optic outage shut down its ticketing system for 5 hours, canceling flights in Seattle and Los Angeles and causing delays across the airline's 64-airport network. The problems started shortly before 8 a.m. when computers the airlines uses to check in passengers went down, forcing employees to board travelers manually, in some instances sticking handwritten flight numbers to computer monitors. The biggest delays were at Seattle's SeaTac Airport, where about half the flights are Alaska Airlines or its regional airline, Horizon Air. Frustration grew along with the lines of passengers waiting to check in, though some travelers simply sat or laid down and waited. Lines stretched out of the door in the Alaska Airlines part of the terminal. Sitka's new mayor and assembly members will be sworn in tonight at Harrigan Centennial Hall, and they won't have long to wait before making some big decisions. The assembly will decide tonight whether to apply for permission to issue more than $80 million in bonds to help fund the Blue Lake Dam expansion. Tonight's vote does not issue the bonds. It merely asks the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank for permission to do so. City Finance Director Jay Sweeney says the city will likely issue bonds up to $30 million in February. Anything beyond that would depend on how much funding comes from the state or other sources. Sweeney says the city can issue revenue bonds without a public vote. The assembly tonight will also decide whether to designate sales tax holidays. In recent years, the city has suspended its sales tax for 2 days, usually right after Thanksgiving. One option tonight would keep those dates. A second would put one of the holidays at the end of this month and another on the day after Thanksgiving. Also on the table tonight, approval of a $1.9 million construction contract to renovate Pacific High School. The deal would go to Homer-based Sunland Development, which was the lowest bidder. Voters approved funding for the project in 2010. Nearly two-thirds of the project is paid for by the state. The Pacific High question is early enough on the agenda that it's likely to be heard by the outgoing assembly before newly elected members are sworn in. Tonight's meeting is the last for Mayor Cheryl Westover and Assembly Member Bill Payton. Mim McConnell will move into the mayor's seat, Phyllis Hackett will continue on the assembly, and Matt Hunter and Michelle Putz will join the table. The meeting gets started at 6 p.m. inside Centennial Hall with an hour-long work session beforehand to hear the city's latest financial results. Raven Radio will begin live coverage on air at 6 p.m. Coast Guard Air Station Sitka is about to switch over to a new heating system, and it's expected to save thousands of dollars per year. That's because it runs on wood. Alaska Senator Mark Begich toured the new boiler when he was in town over the weekend. KCAW's Ed Ronco went along and filed this report.
The boiler room at Air Station Sitka is warm and noisy when U.S. Senator Mark Begich walks in. Commander Ward Sandlin, the commanding officer at the air station, leads Begich over to one of two boilers.
Chris, can we crack one of these open? I tell you, Senator, have you seen one of these on the outside before?
Oh, yeah.
Coast Guard Chief Warrant Officer Chris Reeves puts on some safety gloves, walks up to the boiler, and opens a heavy metal door only slightly larger than a microwave. Begich takes a step back as a bright orange glow pours into the room, followed by a wave of searing heat.
To believe in the old days, we'd throw a log on the fire. I think that was, but now, yeah, now compress the log and you'll use less.
No, it's amazing.
For as long as Coast Guard Air Station Sitka has existed, it has been heated by oil. But starting November 1st, the air station will switch over to wood pellet heat. And aside from one small housing unit in Maine, it is the first Coast Guard base in the country to use pellets.
Biomass is a new thing for the Coast Guard.
That's Bob Deering.
Yeah, the new title is Southeast Alaska Biomass Roadmap Coordinator. It's a mouthful.
Basically, he's a Coast Guard employee who is on loan to the Forest Service for 1 year to figure out how to get energy from biomass in Southeast Alaska. Moving Air Station Sitka to wood pellets is a good first step, but the pellets themselves are coming from British Columbia. Deering says having a pellet mill somewhere in Southeast probably won't happen without 8 or 9 similar projects.
Demand has to lead supply. Nobody's going to invest in a pellet mill or the infrastructure necessary for bringing on this this energy source in the region without already having a demand to sell their product to.
But Deering says even with getting pellets from BC or the lower 48, the project is still cost effective. Here's how. For heating oil, the Coast Guard pays upward of $4 a gallon, and Air Station Sitka was using 85,000 gallons per year. That's at least $340,000 every year just for heat. But with wood pellets, the Coast Guard pays $338 a ton and expects to use about 800 tons a year. That works out to just over $270,000. So, what does all of that mean? Well, by switching to wood pellets, Air Station Sitka has knocked at least 20% off of its heating costs. But it's not flawless. The new boilers will require about 4 hours of maintenance a month compared to the 4 hours every year needed with oil heat. And on this day, when the boiler turns on, the conference room and hallways at the air station start to smell a little like a campfire.
Yeah, we're still working out a few minor bugs on the project, but that's to be expected. I'm pretty confident that this is going to work well for Sitka, and I'm quite confident that Kodiak is an excellent candidate for biomass as well. It's just going to take a while for everybody to become, all the decision makers within the agency to become comfortable with that.
And that leads us back to Senator Begich.
It's impressive. They've done a great job. They've made it a simple project in a sense of how to manage it versus something very complex, which is critical for its long-term ability to be replicated throughout other bases.
Begich would like to see the Coast Guard base in Kodiak convert just one of its boilers to woody biomass, probably a little faster than the Defense Department would like to see it happen.
You know, government is so risk-adverse that they'd rather study things until the answer is no, so they don't have to do it. And I think what we're finding in Kodiak is they want to wait a longer period of time, a three-year potential study period, which really, when you look at Kodiak and it's a payoff in 3 years, in a sense of how it pays for itself, why don't we just wait maybe a little while here, then ratchet up Kodiak because the risk is limited.
Begich says when he goes back to Washington, D.C., he plans to talk to the Coast Guard about what he saw in Sitka and will urge them to accelerate the project in Kodiak. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Deering will offer public tours of the boiler facility during the Sitka Wood Energy Fair, which is set for October 20th. The U.S. Coast Guard in Sitka says it wants to take a more proactive approach to safety for the commercial fishing fleet. Air Station Sitka is holding a commercial fishing industry open house today from 4 to 8 p.m. Lieutenant David Berkey.
We'll be going over dewatering pump operations, hoisting, helicopter familiarization, what the rescue swimmers do and what you can expect them to do, how to be seen by a rescue aircraft. We're also going to have the Marine Safety Detachment here for boating safety stuff and also inspections. They'll be able to answer questions on that.
The Coast Guard usually has a public safety open house on Alaska Day, but Berkey says this is new and geared towards prevention. He says a lot of attention is paid to making sure vessels are equipped with safety gear. This event, though, is designed to help fishermen react to an emergency.
Hey, if we can get out there, if we can get training done just to make the fishermen's lives better, our lives better, and get the emergency handled as quick as we can, that's great. It just so happened that it does fall within a month after two vessels went down, and fortunately in both cases they had very positive outcomes.
One of those cases made national headlines when one crewman survived by floating in a fish tote for 24 hours. The other worked his way into a survival suit after going into the water. Berkey says commercial fishermen planning to attend today's open house should bring questions for helicopter crews and marine safety experts who will be on hand. The new grand presidents of the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Alaska Native Sisterhood are both from Juneau. Bill Martin and Frida Westman represent the Juneau A&B Camp 70. The results of polling were announced Friday near the conclusion of the 100th anniversary Grand Camp meeting in Sitka. Martin says the honor of being Grand President also comes with serious responsibility.
We need to really be able to unify all the other camps, you know, the individual camps. And some of them are kind of faltering, and we need to be able to bring them back into the fold. You know, we also need to try to engage with younger people. It's just not like it was in the old days where it was a natural move as you're getting older to move into the A&B, because right now there's the world's changed, you know, there's so many different things.
Martin says people have grown less patient with some of the formal proceedings of the AMB-ANS, but he says there's much more to the AMB than Robert's Rules of Order.
Well, it was important to me. It was important to my parents and grandparents and the things that they accomplished when I was younger that made it possible for me to get a better education. And it was all through the efforts of the AMB and ANS. They pursued education and they provided means that we could do that. And so it's my way of trying to pay them back for all that they've done and, you know, molding my life to what it is today.
In addition to Bill Martin and Frieda Westman as grand presidents, the Grand Camp Convention elected Sasha Soboloff and Victoria Kenolden as grand vice presidents of the AMB-ANS, respectively. Frank Albee and Beverly Russell as second grand vice presidents, Peter Nowrose and Carol Dewis as grand secretaries, and James Williams and Brenda Louise as sergeants at arms. All terms are for 1 year. The outgoing grand presidents, Dennis Demmert and Mary Brown, will join the executive committee. The next Grand Camp Convention is scheduled for the first week of October next year in Yakutat. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. It is currently 45 degrees with a few clouds in the sky here in Sitka. And today, expect mostly cloudy, areas of drizzle in the morning. Highs around 56 with northwest wind 10 miles per hour. Tonight, decreasing clouds. Lows around 41 with north wind 10 miles per hour. Wednesday, partly cloudy, patchy fog in the morning. Highs around 53. And Thursday, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain, highs around 52, east wind 5 to 15 miles per hour.